This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh. And tonight we have an opportunity to visit with Monsignor Ernest Pizzamilio, who has been at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish. But we're going to go back a little bit in history and share some memories. He spent 50 years as a priest and will celebrate that on Sunday, May 22nd, the anniversary of his ordination. So Monsignor Ernie, if I can call you that throughout the program, I'm really happy to have you here this evening.
Call me anything you want, Terry. That's fine.
Well, it'll be Monsignor.
Yes. Okay, yeah. That's fine.
Give us a little bit of background. Born in Chicago, moved to Spring Valley, correct?
That's correct, yes. I was born in Chicago. When the war broke out in 1941, we moved to Spring Valley, and that's where I grew up until I was a junior in high school, Hall Township. Then I quit high school and went to the Air Force. I was there for 4 years. Then the guy got out and had the priesthood in mind at that time.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you did in the Air Force prior to entering seminary.
Okay, I was an aircraft mechanic, a jet mechanic. I was a crew chief on an F-86D interceptor. I got an honorable discharge. Everything went fine.
Did you serve in Korea at the
time?
No,
I was during the Korean War, but I was in the air training command.
Okay.
And I could not get out of that.
What drew you to the priesthood?
Well, it was a year before I got out of the service, where I got my vocation, my calling. I was on the night shift this particular time. I was laying in my bunk, and nothing in particular on my mind. And if you knew me at that time, you would understand. At any rate, this picture came into my mind very clearly. I was vested as a priest, holding up the host as at consecration at the Mass. I thought, oh, it's a little odd. My mind wasn't 1,000 miles near that. So I just threw it out of my mind as I would a bad thought and went down to work. I was in the wheel well of the plane tightening up an oil line or something. And that picture very clearly came, it popped into my mind again. And I thought, oh, well, I don't know what's going on, but I tossed it out again. I always wanted to get married, have children, and so forth. And to make a very long story short, this kept coming back to me off and on over a long period of time until it finally scared me. And so we had the chapel on the base there, and I used to go in there and make visits before the Blessed Sacrament in the chapel. I talked to our Lord. I said, you know, it seems like you're trying to call me to the priesthood, and yet you know I want to get married, have children. I'm having a struggle with this, that calling. I've gone back a couple of other times, and the next time I went back, I said, well, you know, Lord, I've got life. And as difficult as life is at times, I'm still happy that I've got life. I don't know how I got life, except you had to give it to me. I don't understand why you gave me life, except you had to give it to me out of love for me. That I don't understand, because I was feeling sorry for myself at the time, and I thought, nobody loves me, poor me, type of thing. I thought, well, who could love me? Not even God could love me, you know. And I said, but you did give me life, and I'm sure it was out of love for me. I thank you for that. I thought, okay, since you gave me life out of love for me, I'll give you my life out of love for you. If you want me to be a lay brother, okay. If you want me to be a priest, okay. If you want me to be married, how about that? Because you know that's what I want. But your will be done. So to make a long story short, again, I'm going to have a lot of this long story short business. I said, okay, I will accept this, you know. But then I kept fighting this off because I was looking for a gal to get married, you know. And I dated and had great times, everything, you know. But that was still in my mind. And so I thought, well, I've got God right under my thumb. Can you imagine anybody saying that? Because I thought, I know how to get out of this. Okay, Lord, if you show me a sign, I'll go. And I thought, snickering to myself, you'll never show me a sign, I got it made, you know. Well, that Sunday morning, a couple of friends and I were going up to an 8 o'clock Mass on the Chaplain Beach, and there was a religious sister there from, I think she was a Marinol. She was wanting to get collections for the missions. And so we came up the stairs. I said, morning, sister, and the others as well. And she said, good morning. And she looked at me square in the eyeballs. And she said, out of the clear blue sky, you look like you're going to be a priest someday. Oh, no. I thought, geez, there's my sign. So I couldn't concentrate on Mass, you know. So after Mass, I asked her why she said to me what she said. She said, well, sir, the thought came to my mind at the moment. I said what I thought, and that's all there is to it. Well, later on, when I was in a seminary, I learned that God permeates reality. He works through persons, places, things, circumstances, situations. I'm sure was my sign. I didn't know her from Eve. She didn't know me from Adam. That was my sign. So I thought, well, okay, I'll try. So I asked my chaplain on the base, and hey, Padre, I said, you think if I try for the priesthood, I can make it? He said, how do I know? He said, why don't you try for yourself? I said, well, I really appreciate your help. But he had written to a couple of Army guys that were just mustering out from the Army at the same time. They went to Carthage, Missouri, to the Oblates of Mary, and said, well, I'll stop there on the way home and check that place out, and which I did. When I got on the premise, I heard this, well, what they call an inner locution, an inner voice. Okay, not a lot of voices. I'm not nuts, okay? So I heard this voice say, no. That's how emphatic it was, okay? I thought, well, okay. So I talked to the Father Superior over there, and he said, well, you'll have to start high school, you know, 4 years of high school before you can get into the seminary here. I said, Father, I got my high school diploma through GED, General Educational Development. He said, this is our policy. If you change your mind, you can always come back. I said, I'll go home. I said, I'll try for the Peoria Diocese, which I did. My first pastor there, Monsignor Blucky, had taught Latin, and so he gave me some lessons in Latin and so forth. To make a long story short, I told you I was going to do this Latin. He got me introduced to the diocese and to the bishop, and they accepted me, and so I started at St. Bede in Peru, Illinois. That was my liberal arts, and then I went to St. Paul, Minnesota, a couple of years of philosophy, and then 4 years of theology at Procopius, St. Procopius, Illinois, in Lyle, Illinois. That's how I got my start.
We're talking with Monsignor Ernie from Immaculate Heart of Mary Church. He's been the pastor there since 1990. Let me pause for just a moment, and we'll continue our discussion here with Monsignor Ernie. We're visiting with Monsignor Ernie from Immaculate Heart of Mary Church here in Galesburg, and he will celebrate his 50th anniversary of the ordination to the priesthood on May 22nd. You know, I was looking, if you were ordained in 1966, I thought, well, that's right on the heels of Vatican II, which ran, I think, from 1962 to 1965. I'm not sure, Monsignor, if you have thoughts on that or that impacted seminary.
Yes, I do.
Okay, well.
You know, my whole training was of the old school, so to speak. Priests have been ordained as I had thought I was going to be. For years and years, they've been trained the same way. My deacon year, the last year of my seminary, Vatican II came out in 1965 there. All havoc broke loose, and everything overnight has changed. And so there are a lot of things that I had to relearn, not theologically, because the church is consistent from the time of the apostles all the way through until the end of the world. But at any rate, yeah, the way we did things, you know, how the Mass is going to be offered and that type of thing. I had a little struggle, as everybody did. We made it through all right, and everything was in flux, you know, everything was changing.
The altars were turned around, the Mass was said in English instead of Latin, and among other things,
I'm sure.
So then I went back and I looked and I thought, okay, so 1966 to the present, that's 5 popes, including one who was only, I think, in office 33 days, and of course, Pope Benedict, who actually stepped down and is what, Pope Emeritus, kind of?
Yes.
Was that a surprise?
Yes, it was, but understandable, and I, you know, really am proud of him, because he realized things were getting to the point where he would need someone to help him at his age and so forth. So he did the right thing. And of course, he could always be someone that the present Pope could depend on to guide him and to help him, which I'm sure they have a lot of conversations.
I'm sure they do. What do you make of the new Pope, Pope Francis?
I think he's a great Pope. I think every Pope that I've ever known in my life.
Have you met any in person? Have you had that opportunity?
Never did, no. Sorry to say. I've been in Rome a couple of times, you know, and offered Mass at the Vatican, you know, a couple of times, and which was a thrill for me. But I've never met any of the popes personally.
Personally. Yeah. Tell me what you think about the Year of Mercy in the Catholic Church. It's this year so proclaimed by Pope Francis.
Well, God is mercy itself, and the Pope is trying to help people to understand this. He's trying to be more at ease with people socially and trying to understand where they're coming from more on a personal basis by meeting with them personally and that type of thing. So I think he's doing a great job, personally. Some people don't understand some of the things he's coming out with, but, you know, he is the head of the Universal Catholic Church. What he says goes. And, of course, that comes from our Lord directing him. So How could he miss? How could we miss?
Mm-hmm. Monsignor Ernie is our guest here on Galesburg's Evening News. Let me bring it back home a little bit. You've been at IHM since 1990. Costa Catholic Academy sits on those grounds as well. I know you've been very involved in the school there, too.
Yes, I had been a canonical pastor for quite a few years over there, you know, and involved, you know, and try to make some pertinent changes. Of course, some people don't like changes, so that was a little difficult at times. But we made it all through okay, mm-hmm. You know.
Let me ask you about, you know, in many parishes, the priests are moving. I'm like, oh, Monsignor Ernie's been here since 1990. And now you have two deacons, which has to be a tremendous
help
to you. Mm-hmm. And I know that there's even two deacons at Corpus Christi, which has to be a tremendous help to Father Miller as well.
Yes.
But congregations in some respects seem to have shrunk a little, and or there's been collaborations to make sure the parishes are served, and you've been, I'm going to call it, fortunate to be able to stay at IHM. What's the difference there, Monsignor?
Father Miller's Rosmanian priest, mm-hmm. Okay, that's the order of charity, and I'm a diocesan priest, okay? And the difference is, you know, diocesan priest, for example, you know, takes solemn promises of chastity and obedience, but not poverty, because we're salaried by the parish that we work in, okay? The religious orders have vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and so they're obligated to their order. The difference then, too, is, you know, where does his superior want to put his men? Where does the bishop want to put his men? We're so short of priests today. You know, to move me out of here now, for example, would be like borrowing from
Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, I think he's grateful that I'm staying on. You know, Maybe some people might not be, but I am grateful.
Are you serving some other parishes, too? I know you have in the past.
I had Watauga, St. Mm-hmm. Aloysius. I loved it over there, yeah, but I had a heart attack, open heart surgery and what have you. You know, by the grace of God, I made all through that.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers of the people, you know, God bless them, and if people would only realize the power of prayer, you know, that's what pulled me through. And my time of recovery was surprisingly fast and easy. And that's the grace of God. Mm-hmm. That comes through prayer.
Tell me about maybe some successes at IHM. Have you overseen some, you know, you're laughing. Maybe we're not going to share that.
My big success is that I'm able to stay here all this time.
That he's
time.
Here.
Yeah.
We were talking before the program because I said to Monsignor, I said, oh, Spring Valley. I said, I didn't live too far away growing up in Ottawa there. And we both come from, I would say, Italian backgrounds.
That's right.
You know,
growing up,
did you have some favorite Italian foods that you liked? Or?
I just love pasta, you know.
I love pasta, too.
I'm hung up on,
we
go to Biaggi's all the time, you know, for
eggplant
and,
eggplant, spaghetti, Parmesan and spaghetti.
Parmesan, yeah.
Yeah.
They do a great job over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's Italian, so, yeah.
It's got to be good.
Yeah.
It's got to be good.
If it's Italian, it's got to be good. I agree with that. That's, you know, I often wonder, too, do you get some leisure time? I mean, I always think priests are on call, on duty. They're like doctors. And
24/7.
I'm like, when do they fish? When can they go to dinner?
We fish for people.
Yeah.
No, we're 24/7. We're on it all the time, you mm-hmm. know. I'm sure that's one of the reasons why priests have to live a celibate life, you know, because we have 24-hour call, you know. That's the way it goes.
Yeah. Do you have siblings, Monsignor?
I've got one sister 4 years older than I, but she died a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We've been good friends growing up and so forth, you know.
So the church is your family, the church family.
The church is my family. That's right. Think of all the kids I got.
Yeah, that you wanted.
All the spiritual children. That's right, exactly.
I read Chaplain to His Holiness because I thought, well, what's...
I was made a Monsignor. It happened when I was in surgery.
In 2009?
and I didn't know about it, you know. After I recovered sufficiently, the bishop invited me to his office. Well, as a vicar, you know, I thought, well, maybe something's going on in the diocese. You need some, you know, suggestions from all of us and so forth, maybe. I had no idea what it was about. So anyway, I went down there and he met me at the elevator there and took me up to his office. And I saw piece of paper on the table there, it's in Latin, and it had my name on it. I said, oh, what's this, for goodness sake? He said, congratulations, Monsignor. I said, you got to be kidding. I said, I turned this down a couple of times already because of the way I'll accept it, Bishop, because you have accepted me for this. I didn't put in for this, you know. And I said, well, I want to thank you very much, you know. He said, well, you know, the Pope accepted you, you know. And that's where that chaplain
to the Pope,
comes in. So I said, no, Bishop. I said, now listen, Monsignor Pizzamilio is a mouthful. I said, who's going to get near me, for goodness sake? They'll be afraid to get near me. Could I be called Monsignor Ernie or something? He said, he laughed. He said, you can be called anything you want, you know. So that's how I got my name.
I think that's how we started.
Yeah.
Monsignor Ernie.
Yeah.
We've been talking with Monsignor Ernie, who celebrates his 50th ordination to the priesthood on Sunday, May 22nd. Thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome, and I thank you.
This is Galesburg's Evening News. I'm Terry Cavanaugh for 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.